All right. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Glad to have you all here again. Just wanted to make sure we had some things clear that I know you may call in, you may hear it say muted, but you'll still be able to hear us. We just want to make sure that everyone can hear, and I don't want to disrupt the Spirit of God, and I want people to feel free. You know, I've had some calls and some messages, and people are saying, well, they just don't want to keep up too much noise, and I don't want that to hinder you from joining us in prayer. And I want to thank you all for being obedient to what God has called you to do. And understand, this is not obedience to me, but this is obedience to God, because evidently God has placed it in your spirit to be on this call this morning. And as we're going into our third week of this prayer call, we're just happy that God has found favor with us to continue to serve on it. Amen. Amen. Now, this morning, it's Monday morning, and approaching the end of the first month of year 2012 and headed into January and going into the one of the things that love month. And I felt it only befitting for us to be praying over love this morning. This morning, the topic of today will be love. And that is something that we have to truly know, that God is love. Above anything else, God is love. And in saying that, I want you to also, in praying with us, I'm seeking 100 prayer partners. God has challenged me and commissioned me to do something new in the Atlanta DeKalb area. So those of you that are in the Atlanta DeKalb area, get ready. There's something that's coming your way, something that you can be a part of, something that you're going to love to be a part of. So I want you to stay tuned and keep your ears open and your Facebook page ready to see what I'm going to put out there for you. But I'm looking for 100 prayer partners. And if you want to join me in prayer and be a prayer partner for that, please go to powerfaithdm.org. Go to the prayer request page and just send an email and say, Pastor, I'm standing with you in prayer. Just say, Pastor, I'm standing with you in prayer for what God is about to do. Just that's all we need you to do. That's powerfaithdm.org. Now, I want to say good morning once again. I don't know Pastor Quinn's on the phone. I know he wants to say good morning to you.
Good morning. Good morning. So glad to be on this call once again. Great morning as we begin to kick off this series on love as we go into the month of February. It's so grand, and I'm so happy to be on this call once again with my brother in Christ as well as the believers in Christ. So God bless you all this morning. I look forward to the revelation that is to come out of this call this morning. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Quinn. I'm so anxious to get into this about love, because I know praying for love just does so much for us and sometimes we forget actually what God means by love. So, of course, you know, I'm going to give you some scriptures. We're going to get right into that. And in 1 Corinthians 13:4, we want to know what love is. And the Word of God tells us directly what love is. 1 Corinthians 13:4-8, it says, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices with truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. But love never ceases. This morning, understand something. In your love, we cannot say that we love our brother when we're sitting here doing things against them to hurt them. We can't say we love our brother when we're envious of them. Let me say that again. When we're sitting here talking about we have the love of God and the love of Christ, but yet we can't even get along, how much love is there? It doesn't matter if, let me tell you something, when you love someone, it doesn't matter what they've done to you. It doesn't matter what they've said about you, because it says love endures all, it bears all things. So what we have to understand is we have to be enduring and bearing all those things. Because Christ loved us that way. And I'm going to give you more scriptures to support that. And it says in John 3:16, the one who we always know, the NFL is trying to adopt this as the Tebow scripture. And it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. But God, think about this, God loved us so much, he gave up his seed that bears his name to us, that would die just because, so our sins could be forgiven, so we could come into the glory of God. That means that he sacrificed that what meant most. It was, God did the exact same thing, okay, he commissioned us to do, but he did it first. He says, give up that which you cherish most for me, and then I will show you, you will see how much I love you. In Romans 8, 37 through 39, now in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We always want to say we're more than conquerors, but how are we? Because of the love he has for us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is, God's love is so strong that there is no demon in hell. There is nothing that can come, no recession, no depression, no job loss, no foreclosure, no eviction, no creditor, no child going wayward, no divorce, no miscarriage. None of that can separate you from God's love. I don't care. As long as you come into God, he will love you. I'm telling this to someone on this call right now that may feel that God has abandoned you. God has not abandoned you. You fell short, but it's okay. Just come back to the Father. He said he still loves you. There's nothing that can separate you from his love. And he's in, but in Romans 13 and 8, it says, owe no man, owe no one anything except love each other. For the one who loves one another has fulfilled the law. We know this because we know in Scripture we're going to see what God, what the greatest commandment was. But understand this. You don't owe anybody anything but love. But understand this. You do owe them love. You can't have animosity towards your brother. You have to love them. I don't care if you feel that there's something about them I just don't like. You got to love them. You got to get over that because people, I hear people always say, well, I got, they got issues. It's issues. We got issues. No, it's you, boo. It's you. You got to get yourself right with God and love. Love in spite of. I don't care what you're dealing with. Love in spite of. Ephesians 4, it says, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation where you are called with all lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. If, hear this, if you're not endeavoring one another, if you're not holding, forbearing one another in love, which means putting up with, tolerating, loving in spite of, you're not keeping the peace and the unity of Christ. Hear me this morning. If you can't get along with someone and they're striving to be Christ-like, you are breaking up the peace of God. We got to begin to work together in unity in spite of our differences, in spite of what we may think or feel, we have to love. And I'm going to skip down some. I'm going to put all these scriptures up there for you, but I want to make sure I get some, and I don't want to take too much time. In Matthew 5:43-48, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Let me say this thing right quick. When people say they're perfect, we're perfect through the completion of Jesus Christ. Understand that. We're perfect through the completion of Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean that we're walking in perfection, that nothing about us is flawed, because the flesh dies daily. But through Christ, we are made complete and perfect. But hear this. It says, how is it that we are loved if we only love those that love us? If we only love those that do good by us? That's not true love. He says, what's the difference? He says, the evil one can do that. He says, the Gentiles, those that are unbelievers do that. Those that are seeking their self-worth do that. But we're called to be greater than that. We have to love those in spite of our differences. I want to tell you this morning, every person that you feel that you have something against, or you feel has something against you, and they're a believer, they're striving to be a believer, I want you to text them and tell them you love them. Every day, I want you to find somebody new. Go on your job today, and you tell somebody. I know somebody there that I can't stand them, and they think they say it. They think they this, and they think, listen, I want you to go up there, give them a hug, and tell them I love you. I love you. Now, I don't want you to commit no sexual harassment case. Don't go and hug people you know that it's going to cause a problem. But you know, in the spirit of love, God will tell you who to hug and who to touch. Now, when God tells you, don't let your flesh tell you you ain't going to do it. You got to be obedient through love, because love is obedient. Amen? Amen. Now. And the one thing I want to get to you, I want you to hear this. In John 3:14-18, he says, we know that we have passed over out of death into life by the fact that we love the brethren, our fellow Christians. Who does not love abides, remains is in hell, kept continually in the spirit in death. Anyone who hates his brother, which means detests, in Christ is at heart a murderer. In other words, if you hate your brother, you detest your brother, you don't like your brother, you are a murderer. You hear this? You are a murderer, and it says you know that no murderer has eternal life. It says that you cannot live in glory if you hate. If you have angst against your brother, if you have disparity against your brother, you are now closing the door to the kingdom. You have to love them. You have to love them. It says, but by this we come to know, to recognize, to perceive, to understand the essential love that he laid down his own life for us, and we are to lay down our lives for our brothers. But if anyone has this world goods, resources, and sees his brother, his fellow believer in need, yet closes his heart of compassion against him, how can the love of God live and remain in him? Little children, let us not love in theory or in speech, but in deed and in truth. It says, how can you say you love when you see your brothers in life? I want you to hear this. How can you say you love when you see your brothers in life and you do nothing about it? How can you say you love when you're in the church and you say you don't want to help? How can you say you love when you walk past communities every day and your pastor or your elder or someone says, let's come together and go out in the community and spread love, and you don't do anything and you say no? How can you say you love when you see someone sitting right next to you and they call you for help and you have a means to help them and you don't? You are not loving them. That's not Christ's love. And it says, because love is more than just your words. Love is more than just writings. Love is your action. Today, I charge each one of you, love someone. And I keep telling you, love the hell out of them, and they will love you in return. And the final verse I'm going to give you, it says in Corinthians, and in 2 Corinthians 5:14-15, for the love of Christ constraineth us. This is my favorite scripture. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we just judge, if one died for all, then we're all dead. And if that he died for all, that he which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. See, understand something. I can't die for you and rise again. Only one person died and rose again. And he did it for all of us. And that means that if he did it for us out of love, it says out of the love of Christ, we're bound by that love. That means that that's what we owe. We're constrained. The only thing that keeps us in captivity is the love of Christ. And because of that, that means that we now have to live unto him. And you know what the greatest scripture that said? They challenged, said, we've got the commandments, but what is the greatest commandment, Christ? And he says, to love God with what? Your mind, your soul, your spirit. Okay, he says, love it with everything you have. And the second was likened unto it, to love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, those are the two greatest commandments, and it's to love. Above all things, I want you to understand we must love. So as we go into prayer this morning, I want us to have a spirit of love. Let us uplift one another. Okay, let us stand strong in love. I went into a community today, this weekend, and in the Pittsburgh area of Atlanta. And we was down there, and we were trying to find out what were the needs of the people. And there was such disparity there. Somebody even said, listen, you just burn this whole neighborhood down and start over. See, we got to pray for them and uplift. We have so many people out here that has given up hope because we don't love them, and we have not been loving them. So we need to come back, give them hope, and show them the love of Christ. Let them know their love. Let them know that there are people out there that are lifting them up. Let us go to the throne of grace. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning saying, thank you, Father. Father, thank you for showing us such love, Father. Thank you for embracing us this morning, Father. Father, I realize that a lot of us have had a misunderstanding of the word love. We've looked at it, and we've looked at it and thought that we just got to love those that love us. You know, we go through life and saying that I'm cordial to someone, or I speak, but if they don't say nothing to me, I ain't going to say nothing to them. We know, Father, that is not your spirit. Let us have a spirit to love everyone. Let us call up those people that we know that may have a problem with us and say, you know what, I love you. You don't have to say I love you in spite of you. You don't have to say I love you anyway. Just say I want to call and tell you that I love you. I want us to love. I want your spirit to come inside of us this morning, Father. Father, when we realize that there's some that sit up and they're saying they need prayer for finances and prayer for healing, Father. Father, even I know I have people that hurt. My mother even needs healing right now, Father. But we realize that healing can't take place until we come together in love, Father. Until we have love for one another, Father. And I ask you this morning, Father, put the spirit of love in our heart this morning, Father. Father, birth in us a new spirit of love. Let us understand that agape love, it is an unconditional love. It means it has a love without boundaries. It doesn't mean that we love until. It means we love unto. We love continuously, Father. Let us stop loving with limits, and let us have a no-limit love, Father, despite what people do to us. But understand, Father, that love does not hurt us. Father, love will not kill us, Father, but love will embrace us, Father. Love, true love, will live us, Father, and not bring us death, Father. It will speak life unto us, Father. Let us love each other in the midst of where we've fallen short, Father. When someone does us wrong, Father, let us embrace them out of love, Father. Let us stop seeing things our way and seeing things your way, Father. Father, we pray for that spirit of love. We need your love, Father, for you are love this morning, Father. We come to you this morning in your darling son Jesus' name. We speak love over each person and each family on this call. We speak love into their hearts, love into their minds, that they walk in love this morning so your joy can prevail in their life. We ask this to your darling son Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Pastor Quinn.
Amen, amen. God bless you, Pastor. I want to point out just a few scriptures as well as a few points before we go into the prayer dealing with love. One of the things that I want to point out to the people of God this morning is that that God has called all of us to a great commandment. In Matthew, the 22nd chapter and the 36th verse through the 40th verse, Jesus talks to his disciples, and his disciples ask the question. They say, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. It seems to me, in my interpretation of this scripture, is that Jesus is telling us those who follow him, Christians, that we are to love the Lord God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our being. But not only to love God, but to love our neighbor. And if we look across the land today, if we look across the scope of many believers' theology and ideology, we understand that many of us have no problem with loving God. That's not the problem. However, the problem is loving our neighbor. We can't get past what Pastor and I were talking a few days ago about forgiveness, and many of us can't get past what people have done to us in the past. Therefore, we can't learn to forgive and we can't learn to love. But what God is saying through his son Jesus, he is saying that, listen, in order to love me, you must first love your neighbor. One cannot be done without the other. If you love God, then you must love your neighbor. No matter what they have done to you in the past, no matter who has hurt you, no matter who has wronged you, it is your responsibility as a believer in God to love your neighbor. This scripture also informs us concerning his relationship with man, concerning God's relationship with man. God did not create man out of a sense of need, but rather out of a sense of unselfish love. So when you think about the relationship that you have with God, when you think about how good God has been to you and how in spite of yourself, in spite of what you have done, in spite of what you have been through, even your sinful nature, God created you out of an unselfish love, which means that that was that agape love, meaning that I'm going to love you. What God is saying is that I'm going to love you in spite of you being who you are. God loved us. He said, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now, you have to understand the significance of that scripture. What happened in that scripture was that man had went so far away from God, but God still loved us. He still cared for us to the point where he sent his only son, Jesus, that Jesus may save the world. And so this is the type of love that God speaks to and God is giving us and that we must exemplify in our own spiritual walk, in our own spiritual lives with God. One more thing I want to point out, in Romans 5 and 8, Christ has made a commitment to us. He says, but God demonstrates his own love towards us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You're not here by accident, and I want you to understand this, that you're not here by accident. You were spared simply because God loved you. It's not by any special abilities that you may have or you may possess. It's not by any special set of skills, but you're still here today simply because of the love of God that's been placed on your life. One more thing, and then I will get into the prayer. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul writes a discourse, if you will, on love. And I'm going to begin at the second verse. And when you get home, please, or in your own time of study, please read the entire chapter of 1 Corinthians, 13th chapter. It says, if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves. Finally, Paul says in verse 8, love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. I've come to tell you today, people of God, that you have to love. As my friend Pastor Ward says, love the hell out of them. I like that, Pastor. Love the hell out of them. Even when they, you know they don't love you. If you don't like them, love them. So with that, let's go to the throne of grace. Father, we thank you today. And first of all, Lord, we just want to thank you because you loved us. You first yes. loved us. You loved us, Lord, even when we were in sin, you loved us. You cared for us. Lord, you sent your son. You sent your only son, Jesus, to die for us, God. And, Lord, we thank you today for the love that you have for us. Lord, we realize that it's by no fault of our own that we're here today, Lord, but that you loved us, that you spared us, that you continued to allow our golden moments to roll on because, Lord, you loved us. And so, Lord, we thank you today, and we want to express the same love that you have for us, Lord, to our neighbors and to our friends and to even, Lord, to our foes, those who we know despise us, those who we know hate on us, those who we know dislike us, God. We're praying right now, Lord, that you give us the love that you have. Help us to be examples through you and the love that you have shown us. Lord, help us to show it to our fellow man. Lord, help us to forgive, Lord, so that we may love and that our love may be genuine. Lord, we thank you in advance, Lord, for the connections that you will bring together, the families that you will bring back together, the friendships that you will mold back together, all because we're learning to love more like you. Lord, we bless your name today, Lord, for the love that will be shared through the kingdom. Because we understand that the devil seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. He also seeks to tear down relationships. And the one thing that keeps the relationship together is the love factor. So, Lord, we're asking right now, Lord, that you ignite the love in our hearts. Lord, same love that we have for you. Lord, ignite it in our hearts that we love our brothers and sisters just as we love you, Lord. We want to be lovers. We want to be lovers. Teach us how to love again, Lord. Show us how to love. Lord, we thank you right now. Even the world, they have rappers now that are rapping about how to love. But, Lord, we want you to teach us how to love. We can't depend on the worldly tactics of how to love. So, Lord, we're asking you right now, Lord, to show us how to love. Because we understand, Lord, that you are the example, that you are the leader. And, Lord, that if we learn it your way, and if we learn how to follow your will and your way, that all things will work together for the good of those that love you. So teach us, God, how to love. And we bless your name right now in advance, looking forward to the renewance of love relationships in our brothers and our sisters. We bless your name today, God, because we're not going to take the love of our brothers for granted. But we're going to love them in spite of them being wrong, in spite of them still sinning, even if they haven't come into the knowledge of knowing you. We're going to love them, Lord, until they're ushered into your knowledge. And we bless your name today for all the great things that are to come out of these love relationships. And we thank you now, God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you this morning. Pastor Quinn, have you gotten your website? Is your website live yet?
My website will be up. We're going to launch that in February. My website is going to be up. Trust me, I will have it all across my Facebook page and everything. As a matter of fact, I'm throwing a launch party in Lifonia, Georgia. Well, actually, Stone Mountain, Georgia, at the Willie Watkins Event Center at the end of February. But you'll have all that information available. It will be pastorq2.com. You can keep in contact with me through Twitter. At PastorQ2.com on Twitter, or you can check with me on Facebook, Quincy L. Carswell II. Quincy L. Carswell II is my Facebook name. You can keep in contact with me, and all of the updates that are coming on my website launch and my party that I'll be having for a lunch party. It's going to be a great thing, and I hope that you all would join me and just fellowship with me in this great cause. Yes, so that'll be up very soon. It's coming very soon, very, very soon.
Amen, amen. I want to also I want to let you all know for Simply United Together, those of you that are online with Simply United Together, I want us to continue to keep praying. I know there's an event coming in March. We're still praying with certain venues for that, and I pray that everyone on the call can attend that event. And if there are any pastors or ministers that are on this call, please message me to let me know that you're here, you know. Love to have you pray with us, you know. And at the same time, please, I'm looking for those 100 prayer partners. Please, I need those 100 prayer partners for what is about to launch. I'll let you all know exactly what's going on by the end of the week. Just keep me listed in prayer. You can go to powerofaithdm.org. And go to the prayer request page and just say, Pastor, I'm standing with you in prayer. And also on that page, you get a recording of all the shows, I'm looking at someone just sent me a thing for their wake-up morning show. I apologize. Of all the prayer calls that we've had. And I want to keep my brother Winston Warrior lifted. He starts his early wake-up morning show this morning. Said that it just came to me. But I want to keep y'all in prayer. Remember love in your life today. One of the reasons people always ask me, why do I have on my tag, love me and be blessed? Because most of all, I want everyone to know who I touch that I do love them. And above all, I want them to be blessed. So I'll keep in prayer. Love everyone. Go out today with love. Thank you so much for being on the call. Tomorrow morning, we'll be praying over our youth. Tomorrow morning, it will be about our youth. So I know you got a lot of prayer requests coming in. You better go ahead and send them to me. I want names of your youth. You need to protect the names and the grade and age and everything of your youth because we're going to keep them listed in prayer. We're going to raise our youth up today. No longer will the enemy take hold of them anymore. We will stake claim on that. So our youth is what we're praying over tomorrow. Amen. Love you and be blessed.
God bless you.